I'm Annie from Chastity Belt, and you're listening to Will's Band of the Week.
Wow. Did I nail it?
Yeah,
you totally killed it.
This is Will's Band of the Week for November 10th, 2019. Hello, and welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with podcast founder Chris.
Hey!
Live in studio.
Yeah.
Yeah. We tried to get Barrett, you know, we got our people get in touch with his people, and like four guys wearing dark suits went over to his place and
Went
to his lawyer's office, and they couldn't pull it off.
Either your voice or your brains are going to be on this podcast. Make him an offer he can't refuse.
Yep. Well, he played hardball, and I guess...
Does that mean I played easy ball?
Well, yeah.
I think I pushed, actually, I think I nudged my way onto this
one. You kind of did, yeah. 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 So, cool. Welcome back to the studio.
Yeah. It's great to be here.
And you'll sound a little bit like Barrett, because you have Barrett's mic, and you're sitting in Barrett's usual chair.
Yes, the official Barrett chair.
It's a hard chair to, you know, it makes me feel like, maybe we talked about this before, it makes me feel like when I had a tour of Miller Park and I sat in Bob Uecker's chair.
Wow. Does it
feel kind of like that?
let's not get crazy. It's a fine enough chair. It's solid. It's not going to fall underneath me.
I don't think so.
Okay, good.
It shouldn't. Well, here we are. It's winter already. What the hell happened?
I don't know. I'm freezing.
It's terrible.
Indeed. It was just just nice weather a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And now it's sub freezing.
Yeah. Well, I think we have a lot of things to talk about.
We do.
Tonight, right?
We do.
Yeah. Do you want to update? You met a fellow podcaster out on the road.
Yeah, this was a lot of fun. I was in Colorado Springs at a work conference and end up talking to this guy, and I thought there was some familiarity there, and this is so weird that this happens in the internet age, where you like have a discussion with someone and it's like you're meeting for the first time, but you've talked online under pseudonyms, like on Twitter.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
and so the guy's name is Drew, and he's from New Hampshire, and I looked at his name tag and I was like, wait, are you Drew Hampshire? He's like, yes, I am. I'm like, you've suggested music to me in the past. Like, he suggested a couple years ago, he suggested the Dolly Rots. Have you listened to them at all?
I think so. I remember the name.
It was like a great power punk band to me, and I listened to it, and I loved it. And so I'm like, hey, this is an aging rocker like us who has good recommendations. And so we had this long discussion before we even realized who each other was. And yeah. I think I mentioned our podcast. He's like, wait a minute, I have a podcast too. And so he and his buddy Steve from Bedford, New Hampshire, do a weekly podcast. It's a little bit different than ours. They'll talk a little bit and then play a bunch of songs in a row and then talk a little bit about those songs. And every now and then they'll do special episodes with themes and things like that. But it's great to meet other podcasters. Maybe we can make them a sister podcast of some kind. I think at some point they actually do crossover podcasts, which seems like a pretty cool way to try to get new listeners, where, you know, they'll come on your podcast or you go on theirs. So their listeners kind of learn about other podcasts too. So maybe we can hook something like that up in the future. But it was great to meet him.
That's cool.
And I've listened to the podcast and love it.
All right. Are you going to be able to give the listeners some kind of, you know, way of accessing this other podcast?
Oh, have I not even said it's called the Suburban Underground Podcast. And it's from Bedford, New Hampshire. They actually simulcast it as an actual radio show. So it's a tight 1 hour. The last episode I mean, it's a great way to learn new music. They play some older stuff, and then they sprinkle in some newer indie stuff. But it's all it's all kind of indie. Have you ever heard the song Joyride from Business of Dreams?
I've got Business of Dreams. I've listened to their last two albums.
Yeah, yeah. On this,
I like them.
On the last one, they played the song Joyride, and why don't you play a little bit of it? Because I think it's a great song, and it's the one I just learned from their podcasts.
Okay, let's find it.
I was like doing the dishes, listening to their podcast, and that came on. I'm like, wow, they're playing some of the older stuff, older hits. And then I looked it up. It's like 2017, I think that came out.
Yeah.
Doesn't now, that feel like 1984?
This is a great podcast connection thing.
Yeah.
Because we've talked about two Business of Dreams albums on this podcast.
Wow.
And not only that, but the guy from Business of Dreams contacted us and to like, he's a cool guy to like, thank us for playing his music.
Nice.
So yeah.
All right.
It's a connection.
Well, so we definitely have our tastes aligned. So.
Yeah. So these New Hampshire guys might be pretty cool. They have potential. I'm willing to consider.
That's very kind of you.
Until they play something bad, and then we'll just write them off. Yeah. Because as we all know, there's good music and there's bad music, right?
And the bad music is just music we don't like.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. That's awesome. That's a great story. That's fun.
Yeah. So come up and talk to us at any point if you have a podcast, especially.
Every discussion that we've had lately comes down to a South by Southwest reference. So did these guys go? Have they gone?
They have not, but I bored Drew at least to death. With my tales of South by Southwest. I'm like, man, you gotta go.
Yeah, maybe they'll show up now.
No,
that's beautiful.
Pitched it hard.
It seems like it's in the interest of aging rockers everywhere, right?
Right.
That we just keep promoting this whole deal, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
It'll be like the Will's Band of the Week. You know how like these radio shows and stuff do cruises,
right? Yeah. Yes.
Like instead of going on a cruise, you can just come to South by South with us. You don't even have to pay us anything. All you have to do is just like buy us a drink every now and then.
Wait, you already gave that away? I was thinking like $1,000. Like, what does Gene Simmons charge to go on the cruise with Kiss?
I don't know if I would pay $1,000 to go to South by Southwest to you.
Come on, you got to start. You got to start the negotiations with a big number, and then you can put it down to zero right beforehand, and then they'll be thrilled, right?
Yeah.
Let's it could be yours $1,000 value, but it could be yours for free, something like that. All right. Very cool. Very good. All right. We haven't done one of these for a while, and it's definitely time.
1, 2, 3, 4.
It's time for the
mailbag.
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 I think I'm forgetting there were a couple of great Twitter contacts. So I might have neglected somebody who contacted us on Twitter. So sorry about that. This is the real mailbag. That means good old fashioned email, you know, like they used to do back in the old days. Email.
People didn't send us telegrams.
They should have sent. Yeah, they should. People should write
smoke
letters.
Signals. You picked up some smoke signals from a listener. Yeah.
By the way, did you see the reward that Jason got for having the code word?
I did not.
Nicholas sent him a card, a physical card.
Wow.
Yeah, really cool. And then like, some guitar picks. One that I think he found when he was digging up his backyard. So, really cool stuff. So the potential is there when we, you know, you think we're joking about offering rewards, but sometimes the actual reward really happens. So,
that's when
pretty
you
cool.
Will's Band Platinum status.
Right.
And a free trip to South by Southwest, I think that's what you said?
All expenses paid.
Right, and yeah. You're paying for it?
All you can drink, all you can eat. Penthouse suite. Might as well make big promises now that we've gone down that road. Yeah, could happen. It might happen. Nick from Japan, formerly from the UK, contacted us, and it was really cool. He said he's been listening since 2013, and he had never contacted us.
I don't think I've listened since 2013.
Yeah, I know. It's been 6 years. Pretty amazing. really cool to hear from Nick. He's recommending the new album by Corridor, hoping that we will review it. And it just so happens that when he said that, it was already on the agenda. So that's going to be coming up. And Corridor from Montreal. Everybody can listen in advance to see if you agree with us when we talk about it, probably next week. So that's cool. And then we shouldn't not give Greg from New Hampshire the mailbag just because he's in contact quite often. But he still should get the mailbag at least sometimes. And he's from New Hampshire, so right. He's probably personal friends with these other guys from the...
Greg should be listening to Suburban Underground.
Suburban Underground, yeah. After he listens to our podcast. So don't let it get in the way. Got to be careful here, you know.
Evidently, there's a Milwaukee podcast called Rockin' the Suburbs. So Suburbs figure strongly in podcast names.
Yeah, we're in the inner city here, so... no suburban stuff here. And Greg, he was just following up on the Sonic Youth discussion. He's also a big Sonic Youth fan. And trivia item, Greg has a Telecaster guitar signed by Lee Ranaldo. That made me think, you know, let's say you go see your favorite band and maybe you'll buy one of their shirts, get them to sign it, or you could... get them to sign your forearm or something or whatever. Who takes their guitar like with them to get signed? Maybe you would take it to a like an in-store appearance, I suppose.
Yeah. I don't think you could strap one of those to your back and make through the like they have metal detectors at the Sylvie now.
Yeah, they're kind of. I know the Sylvie's kind of serious. It's arena rock, you know.
Yeah.
So, but if they did a up the street at the Strictly Discs store. If they did an in-store thing, you could bring your Telecaster and a Sharpie and get the person to sign it.
I've told you about the last in-store that Barrett and I went to there, right?
I can't remember what it was.
It was David Mead, who we loved. He was playing Café Momar later that night. But David Mead was going to play at an in-store at the at Strictly Discs, which is right down the street from you. Mm-hmm. So he and I show up there, and we are the only two there.
Did David Mead do a solo performance for
you? He did a solo performance.
Really? For just you and Barrett?
For me and Barrett.
Oh, my God.
We're standing like 3 feet in front of him.
Oh, God.
And it was the most awkward thing.
Oh, yeah, that's bad.
It's because you can't, like, it was so embarrassing. You can't leave.
You can't leave, and then he can't say, well, forget this. I'm not playing. It's
right,
only you guys.
Yeah. So you're both locked in this like, battle of wills where neither of us can give.
Right.
And so he just like, he gritted his teeth and he played like four songs and it was just like him serenading two middle-aged men and it was just really awkward. But so that's my in-store story.
If I remember right, and this is a long time ago and I'm an aging rocker, but I think I've seen one in-store performance at that store and you know who it was? It was kind of good.
Lady Gaga.
You'll be a kind of impressed. It was Laura Veers.
Ooh.
That's good, right?
Yeah.
That's solid.
She's in the holy triumvirate of Lauras.
Right? Yeah.
Veers, Marling, and Gibson.
And she does, you know, she can pull it off with the acoustic versions.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Absolutely.
Pretty good.
All right.
That's the mailbag.
Yeah, send us more letters.
Keep the mail coming. physical letters, whatever it needs to be.
Mailbag, getting lots of letters. And I'm not in the intro, so I just thought I'd like do my own.
Oh, that's right. You didn't send in a thing. I mean,
no,
why?
I refused.
Come on,
I refused. I'm too rock and roll for that.
That's right.
I'm like the Iggy Pop of the group.
Did we ever talk about how that whole thing was made? So Nicholas told us all, like, send in a clip of yourself saying, you know, like, we need one person to say it's time for, though. We need other people to, like, kind of yell mailbag really loud and whatever.
Yeah, he's orchestrating
it. I don't know,
it.
Whatever, and he put it all together.
He's so. Like the Phil Spector of mailbag intros.
Yeah.
This is the wall of sound. Yep. Podcasts all over America are trying to replicate it.
Okay, I've got another jingle to play, but I have to play this one first. I just haven't played that in a while. Pretty exciting, right?
Is that Rock and Roll Hoochie Coo?
Yeah, that's Rick Derringer.
Yes.
Yep. Yep. All right.
Was there a reason for that, or
no?
Just for fun.
No reason. I was looking at my list of jingles, and I thought, hey, wait, well, I haven't played that for a while.
I thought we were introducing something. All right, go ahead.
We are now. We both have live reports. I think your live reports, you should do yours first because they predate mine chronologically, right?
Yeah, and they only exist, well, one of them only exists because you graciously gifted them to us.
Yeah, I unloaded the tickets on you guys.
You had tickets to Pale Hound and Big Thief, and you were going on a trip, so you gave them to me and Barrett.
Yeah.
And we went, and Pale Hound was outstanding.
Cool.
Like, let's see, when was the last time I was on? It's been a couple months since I was on a regular show, and I thought we were going to do Pale Hound, so I listened to it once or twice, and then you're like, we're not going to do Pale Hound, and so I stopped listening to it, but I knew that I liked it. Mm-hmm. So in working up to the show, I listened to a lot, and I'm like, oh my God, I love this. So it was a really good show. A lot of great banter. She seems very funny.
Mm-hmm.
Pale Hound, if you don't know, it's basically one woman from mm-hmm. Boston. I wish I knew her name off the top of my head. I do not. But she was bragging about the insoles that she had gotten on her shoes and how comfortable they were. And this is her saying this. This is not me saying this. But she had a joke. She said, I'm very, very gay. But Dr. Scholes must be a dyke because no man has ever made me feel this good. talking about the insoles that she had just gotten in her shoes, which is one of the great lines that I've heard.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
At a show. But she played all the hits. She played Aaron. I believe she played the song Bullshit, which is really good.
Oh, it's a great one. Yeah. Yeah.
And so I don't think either Barrett nor I are big Thief fans, so we stayed maybe halfway through Big Thief and checked it out, and then headed out and drank kind of a lot, and then packed it up the very next day to go see Ben Folds.
Oh, those are consecutive nights.
Consecutive nights at the Sylvie. So I had never been to the Sylvie, and there I end up there back-to-back nights.
Yeah.
So I did Ben Folds' Stone Cold Sober. Speaking of... He has an album called "Rockin' the Suburbs," which I'm sure is
probably suburban
where that,
theme.
Yeah, where that podcast name came from. But yeah, it was great. It was. I go back with Ben Folds all the way to the Ben Folds 5 days. He did not play a lot of the band songs. He played a lot of the solo songs, which many of them I had forgotten about. So I went back out in the subsequent couple days and listened to those and forgot how much good stuff he's been putting out lately. So. It was a good show, and I think Barrett enjoyed it as well.
Did he have? He must have had a whole full band, though, right? He didn't just like play a piano, did
nope.
he?
He plays solo by himself.
Oh, really?
By himself. Yep.
Wow, and he can pull that off. That's pretty impressive.
He's an amazing piano player. Yeah.
Huh. So, what's your review of the Sylvie?
I like the Sylvie. Beers are like $10.
Yeah,
you're paying Chicago prices at the Sylvie.
Yeah, but they're big beers.
Yeah, that's true. I liked it. We waited around like stalkers for Pale Hound to come out, by the merge table, and she never did. So that was kind of
disappointing.
Yeah. We were going to get her to do an intro to the podcast.
Well, funny that you should mention that. We might have one of those on this podcast, but
really,
it'll come on the editing process. So either it's going to be there or it's not. So,
Because she had actually she's made contact with this podcast before. I think when you did the show with Barrett and reviewed it, he mentioned something vocally in one of the songs. He didn't know if it was a voice or he didn't know if it was.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
Or if it was an instrument or something, but he really liked the sound of something and put it on Twitter.
And then she answered.
She answered and she said, oh, it's a voice.
Yeah. Palehound is really good. I think it's one of those, it is a top 10 contender for me. It's just going to be a matter of when I go back and start reviewing everything, how does everything kind of shake out? But I really like that album a lot.
Yeah.
So sorry you didn't like Big Thief so much, but I'm much bigger on Big Thief apparently than you guys.
Yeah,
so.
we're little on Big Thief. We're little thieves.
Big Little Thief. Little Big Thief. It's a TV show, isn't it? Little Big Thief.
Something like that.
Yeah. All right. Very good. Oh, it's my turn for live reports. So I was in Portland, and you know how you travel sometimes, and you're just like, well, it'd be cool to see a band, but you know, you don't know if you're travel dates will coincide with any band that you would like to see, right?
Right.
So, and the other factor for me was I was visiting my son, and I didn't know if, you know, our getting together would be consistent with going to see a band or whatever. So, but it just turned out one night he had to go back home and study, and I had from like 7:30 on, I had wide open, and the band Sloan was playing.
Oh.
So I thought, hey, might as well go. You know, I really haven't listened to a lot of Sloan except the album from last year was really good, I thought. They're aging rockers from Canada, I believe.
Sloan is from Canada?
I think so. Is this going to be our mistake? We always have to have at least one mistake on every podcast.
Maybe I'm thinking of somebody else.
I better look it up now. Now you've just made me do music journalism, so hold on.
Well, so I liked Sloan. It's probably been like 10 years since I've listened to one of their albums. Like they had a couple good albums. Like 10, 12 years ago. And then they got really big. They had like a song in a commercial. And they got really big, and then they just kind of disappeared from me. So,
this is the result of my music journalism. Originally from Halifax, Nova Scotia.
Wow, you nailed it.
And then they moved to Toronto for indie rock stardom. So,
okay,
that's Canadian,
yeah,
right?
Oh, totally.
They were playing. I was originally not planning on going, and one of the reasons was they were doing one of those things where they play an album in its entirety, and they were playing an album, maybe you know this album, from 1998 called Navy Blue.
That's not one of the albums that I know, no.
And I didn't know it either, and then I sampled it, and I was like, this album, I don't know if it's really that good, so, you know, I kind of hope they play some other stuff besides that. Anyway, so here's my review of Sloan. They sounded like a cross between 38 Special and the Beatles. So take that for what it is, you know.
All right, I'll take that for what it is.
A little Southern Rocky, a little bit more pop hooks. Maybe not quite as good as either of those two bands.
But put them together and you have magic.
Yeah. So
you just have 38 Special on the brain. Like it's
that's true.
Like any band that's sort of Southern Rocky, just imagine it's like a magnet.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Pulling it towards 38 Special.
Right. I'm always thinking of how does this band relate to 38 Special.
Right.
So anyway, but it was fun to go see a venue and see a band, and they're playing a pretty small venue called Holocene. Anyway, I got to see that, and I'm glad I did. Even though the band wasn't really my favorite thing. Okay, and then just last night, Chastity Belt played at the Wisconsin Union. They call the room the Rat Skeller, and it was free. And I would have paid, but it was free. So I didn't pay because they didn't make me pay.
Is that how free works?
I think it is. Yeah, Barrett went too, my wife and my son Grant. And we all enjoyed it a lot. Chastity Belt is cool. If you like their albums, you would like their live performance. It's very low key, understated. And they have a great rapport between the band members. I've read articles that talk about how they're really good friends, and you can see it when they play live. They'll have times where one of them will look at the other one and they'll laugh, and there's a great kind of band vibe going on. So, really cool.
I can report that Barrett enjoyed himself quite a bit as well.
He reported that to you?
Yes, he reported. So this is secondhand. This is all hearsay. I don't know. These are legal terms. I don't know if they're binding. I don't know if I could go to jail for...
Well, Barrett's not here. You can say anything you want.
For misrepresentation.
It doesn't have to be true. Just say whatever you want.
Yeah. Yes. Barrett, he said he wasn't really sure that he liked them all that much, but now that he's seen them live, he likes them a lot.
Cool. Very good. Yeah. Yeah, it was great. We talked to him a little bit afterwards, too. It was one of those awkward things where we kept telling each other that the other one should go talk to the band members, you know, whatever. So, anyway, very cool. Very good.
Yeah.
So, all right, live reports. We did it, right?
We nailed it.
And now...
Nothing more to say about live music ever again.
Nope. Now it's time for... Oh, wait a minute. One more live report.
Mm.
It's a sports live report. I went to see the Portland Trail Blazers.
You did?
Yeah, I mean, why not? You're in Portland and they're playing,
sure. Right?
And my son was cool. He's not really a sports fan, but he's a gamer. You know, he'll just do things, you know, because he's a cool guy. So he said, sure, I'll go to that game with you. It's pretty much, you know, NBA, standard NBA vibe.
Who did the Portland Trail Blazers play?
They played there's a definition of a certain type of a game called a barn burner.
Yeah.
They played a barn burner against the Philadelphia 76ers.
Ooh, that's a good game.
Yeah.
76ers are good.
Portland hit a bomb with 2.2 seconds left to take the lead. And then Philadelphia hit another bomb, resulting in like 0.7 left on the clock. And therefore, Philadelphia won the game and disappointed the fans.
But I imagine so.
There's a player who's good, I'm going to say. His name is Damian Lillard.
He's very good.
That guy knows how to play basketball. I'm just going to say that.
So, musical connection. He's also a rapper.
Is he?
Yes. Goes by the name Dame Dalla. And
I think the the PA announcer was calling him Dalla. Where? Wait a minute. Where did that name come from? I'm confused.
Yes.
Now I understand.
And he is known for doing diss tracks on other NBA players. Like, I believe he dissed Shaq or somebody in a track. These rappers are amazing. They'll, like, somebody will say something about them, and within 24 hours, they will have a diss track.
Yes.
Like, that's Paul good. McCartney and John Lennon probably spent years and years, like, slaving over these songs. Dame Dalla can come out with a diss track in 24 hours.
That's really cool. I did not know that. But, yeah, he's very good. But, yeah, Philadelphia has a team. I think the front court for Philadelphia is just too much for Portland to handle.
They have some big boys.
Yeah, Portland's got the guards, but they don't have quite the front court.
I have a friend from Portland who spent years trying to convince me that in Portland they call the Trailblazers the Zers.
Really?
That does not seem right.
That's terrible.
I think this was a trick to try to get me to be on a podcast 30 years later and try to convince everybody that they call them the Zers.
I didn't hear anybody say the Zers. That's like calling a pizza a za, right?
Yeah, za.
There were people in college that said that.
Yeah. Yeah. You want to get some za?
But
you'd think in a place that where so much weed is smoked, though, that Blazers would be an outstanding team name, though, right?
Yeah, they could change the logo to reflect that, I suppose. there's also a thing where they make reference to Rip City. Have you ever heard that?
Yes.
So they have these shirts that say Rip City on them. I didn't know what it meant, but... It was a whole phrase that was coined by a play-by-play guy from Portland. You know, somebody hits a long shot and the guy just yells "Rip City," and the rest is history.
Was it Rip Torn? Was he? Did he claim the city?
Yeah, it was Rip Torn when he came in late in the game at age 63. Oldest person. That must be a good stat, right? Well, there was like Mini Minoso. Was that his name? What's that guy's name that? Got an at bat when he was like 50 some years old, right? Wasn't that Mini Minoso?
Well, Eddie Goodell was the midget little person that batted.
Okay.
And yeah, that was a Bill Veeck thing.
Okay.
Where they brought a little person up to bat. So his strike zone was so small they couldn't throw a strike.
Because from the knees to the shoulders is only like 4 inches.
Exactly. Right? Yeah. Yeah, Mini Minoso sounds right. It sounds like he could probably pitch.
See the old guy?
Or hit. Yeah.
So
Satchel Paige played very late in his life as well.
So who is the oldest player to score a point in an NBA game? And let's say like since like 1950, so it's now ridiculous. Wouldn't that be interesting?
Do you know the answer to this?
No, I have no idea. It's just one of those interesting things. There's probably been like some like 43-year-old guy, but there, I don't know if anybody's ever put like a 50-year-old guy in the game at the end, but you could, right?
You could.
Guy that's got a set shot, just put him in at the end.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar played well into his 40s.
Yeah, I think
he was probably 41 or 42 at least.
Right? Yeah.
Anyway.
All right, listeners, write in. If you get the right answer, you get an all-expense-paid trip. All food and drink included at a in a penthouse suite for South by Southwest.
Asterisk. Unless I Google it while we're playing one of the songs and I find it first.
Right.
Which I will do.
You got to have an asterisk.
You mentioned being on the road and looking up bands. When I was in Colorado, I was in Denver, and then I was in Colorado Springs, and I looked up what bands were there while I was there all last week. The only one was Wu-Tang Clan was playing at Red Rocks.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I've never been to Red Rocks.
Yeah, it would almost be worth it just to go to Red Rocks.
But it was a blizzard, and so I doubt the show even went on.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
Yeah, it was like a once-in-a-lifetime October blizzard.
Yeah, I was going to say Red Rocks is great, but not in that context it wouldn't be.
Right.
In the summer, yeah, go there in the summer sometime. It's pretty cool.
I'll make a point of doing that.
Yeah. Okay. You've got two bands.
I do.
And I've got one tonight. So which one do you want to start with?
Do you want to start with the Yacht Rockers?
It doesn't matter.
All right.
Editorial control to you.
Let's start with a Chicago band made up of, they're not aging rockers, but they're former rockers from other bands, a duo, Julian Ehrlich and Max Kakasek.
So right now, people can try to guess, right? See if they know it.
Yes. Are we giving away another prize here?
You've built it up, yeah.
Yeah. The band is Whitney, and one of them is from the Unknown Mortal Orchestra, and one of them is from Smith Westerns, both defunct bands, both bands that I think I liked at the time. And, yeah, so they play kind of a low-key 70s horn-influenced, laid-back style, and I really like it. And they're an example of a drummer being a lead singer, which is always fun. I don't know if we've discussed that here on the...
I think we have.
...on the podcast.
The Romantics.
The Romantics, yes, exactly. So we have talked about this. Yeah. So I'll just go ahead and play a song. Let's play the song Used to Be Lonely, which is song number 2.
Until you
It's Whitney.
So there are obviously some 70s references here, but it's like I can't really quite put my finger on it. It's like maybe I joked earlier and I called it Yacht Rock. So maybe like Christopher Cross or something, yeah. Or I don't know. I don't know. They're, the references are obviously there, but you know, I think you get out of this album what you put into it. You can either kind of listen to it passively and just kind of let it be in the background, and it's almost not even there. But then you can listen to the words, and you know, it's about love and loss and all those wonderful things. I think there's some, if you just look at the names of the songs, I mean, some of them are gripping in and of themselves. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
This is either their second or third album, right?
I think it's their second, and I really like their last one, too.
This one is called Forever Turned Around.
Yes, I should have mentioned that.
And, okay, so it definitely has the 70s soft rock kind of thing going on. And I basically grew up on this stuff being played on the radio. And so I kind of like everything about this band except for one thing. My one reservation is I'm just not sure that it's necessary to sing in falsetto all the time. Right?
That's actually what I kind of like that.
I mean, they could have just gotten a woman singer who can sing those same notes without falsetto. Or they could, if they sang lower, I guess it would sound different. But I'm not quite grabbing onto that falsetto, but everything else is pretty cool. And so one thing I really like is the horns. I think they're really cool.
Yeah.
So I'm going to play the instrumental, number 6, called Rhododendron.
Song where you can escape the falsetto.
Right, yeah. That's probably why I picked it. But that's kind of a genre-crossing kind of track, really, right? Because those horns are almost like New Orleans jazz horns. Mm-hmm. I like it. It's cool.
Yeah, you'd expect that on, like, maybe a Bread album.
The Bread didn't have all those cool horns.
Bread had a lot of falsetto, though, right?
Oh, they had the falsetto for sure. Yeah,
kind of sounded like lady singing in some songs.
Yeah,
Barrett and I had a long drunken conversation about Bread.
About how I'm gonna make it with you.
Oh yeah, absolutely, baby. I'm a want you.
I'm a want you. Yeah, baby. I'm a need you. Why is it always want you, need you, got to have you? You know, it's like the standard rock and roll progression, right?
I think those are the three sizes at Cold Stone Creamery as well. If you're looking for some ice cream.
Oh, man.
They're following the bread principle. Yeah. Want, need, gotta have.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I saw, I was actually looking forward to this album because I saw them on a live stream over the summer. I think it had to be like Pitchfork Festival or something. And saw them play. And I'm like, oh, that's the band from a couple years ago that I really liked. and they were really great live too. So, so do I get to bring up the rear here?
Yeah, one more.
I'm a big sucker for the last songs on albums, so let's go with "Forever Turned Around," which is the last song. Okay, just during that small clip, that truncated clip, I did a Google search of greatest ever falsetto singers.
Okay, well, obviously the first one's going to be Robin Gibb. Barry Gibb.
Not on the...
One of those Gibbs.
Not on the main page.
Really?
Frankie Valli.
Oh,
Philip
okay.
Bailey. El DeBarge.
Who's Philip Bailey?
Philip Bailey was in... He was in like... What band was he in? He was like...
Is he like Earth, Wind, and Fire
yeah.
or something?
Earth, Wind, and Fire. He also had like a solo song with Phil Collins in the 80s, which is okay. very popular. And then Tiny Tim.
Oh, God.
Tiny Tim. Notable falsetto song.
You're going to call that greatest, singer. Though? It's not greatest.
But on this page, they have like frequently asked questions. Is it okay to sing in falsetto?
Is it okay?
Yeah.
No, not
yes,
okay.
Yes, this is the question that you just had. You're in charge of the internet. You must yeah. own Google or something. And the answer is, untrained singers who sing solely in falsetto are slowly damaging their voices. The answer
really?
Is no.
I never said it wasn't okay. I just said was it necessary, you know.
You're a falsettoist.
They could have chosen a different
You're falsettist.
Method, but...
So, yeah, we better enjoy the Whitney albums while you can, because he's slowly damaging his voice.
Here's another great trivia question you'll have to look up while we're playing the next track. You just played the last track that happened to be the title track, Forever Turned Around. Name another album where the title track is the last track.
Ooh.
I can't think of one, but there's got to be, right? There must be more than one. Yeah. All right, there you go. There's a challenge to the listeners.
All right.
Play along with us. See if you can come up with it in real time as you're listening. Maybe you can... I'm going to search it, too.
Yeah.
So in the meantime...
We'll do it at the very end, yeah. so pause.
Yeah. All right, good. Whitney.
Yeah, listen to Whitney.
I'm cool with it.
They're big stars in Chicago. They own Chicago now.
Very good. Very good. Are we going to do your next one?
Let's
or
do
mine?
Your next one.
Okay, we're going to talk
Your
about Automatic, and this is three women from Los Angeles, and my first impression was it was kind of krautrocky. It's kind of got this mechanical component to it, and then you mentioned something that I had thought of in parts of this. They sound like the Ravenettes, so they're kind of krautrocky Ravenettes, a little synthy maybe.
Yeah, a little more like electronic than the Raveonettes, but kind of that dark 50s type of like motorcycle gang,
yeah,
that type of vibe.
Yeah. So yeah, there's a little fun trivia thing about them too, but we'll play a track first and then we'll talk about the trivia. So the band is Automatic and the album is called Signal. So it makes them not quite Google proof. Is that the term? Google proof? If you just search for Automatic, you're not really going to probably find this band. But Automatic Signal, then you're getting closer, right? All right. I like several of these tracks. I think we'll start with number 7, which is called Damage. That's Automatic.
Do you remember Veronica Falls from a couple of years ago?
Yep.
I think they kind of sound a little bit, vocally at least, like them. A little more electronic, but yeah, same kind of thing.
Cool.
Yeah.
Did you listen enough to make a pick?
I did. I have a pick.
All right.
I want to go with song number 3, Suicide in Texas.
Feeding your desire.
Yeah, I'm kind of a sucker for those, you know, those slinky, caustic bass lines that just kind of go over and over. Like Nine Inch Nails' Head Like a Hole is like that. That dun 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 dun. Yeah. So yeah, I noticed that on a few songs like that, they just kind of pick a groove, play right. it throughout the song, and then just kind of riff on it.
Right. That one was definitely a Raveonettes of style.
Right. That's
right.
What,
yeah.
Yeah, that's what made me think of it.
And part of it is the vocal harmony between the two. It's just the same way that the Raveonettes do it. Plus, just not just that, right? The reverb and all that stuff. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Here's the trivia. Remember a band from, I'm going to say like maybe early 80s called Bauhaus?
Yes.
They were considered goth.
Right.
They had their hit was called Bela Lugosi's Dead, I believe. And I never listened to them that much, but they were always out there. Well, the drummer for Automatic is the daughter of the
Bela Lugosi?
Of the drummer for Bauhaus.
No, that's less exciting.
Not as cool, but but that's kind of like a rock and roll cred thing, sort of.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. So that was a fun little trivia thing. All right, we were talking before you were about liking the last track. The last track on this one is good too. I'm going to play it. Strange Conversations. Automatic.
Yeah, so you picked two songs from later in the album.
Yeah, deep cuts.
Yeah, on my listens, I felt kind of the opposite that you did. I felt like it kind of slowed up a little bit.
You like the first half better.
Right.
Yeah, well.
But.
We'll let the listeners decide.
I still enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I would recommend it.
Automatic. The album is called Signal, so don't just search for Automatic, or you won't find it.
Or Automatic for the People, or...
Yeah. Yeah. Could check that. Could go back and listen to that classic REM album.
Yeah.
Where was Automatic for the People? Was that right in the middle? Was that about, what did they have? They had 15 albums.
It was 92.
And we've ranked all 15 albums. It's a good excuse to tell people to go back and listen to our podcast about the REM albums, right?
There's this weird cadre of people who argue to the death that Automatic for the People is REM's best album. And it drives me crazy. Like somebody will say it on a Saturday night on Twitter, and I'll spend an hour just obsessing about how crazy that is. But yeah.
Well, I could maybe see that if that was the first one or second one that you heard. But if you knew them back from the beginning, I can't imagine that you'd think that's better than like the first three. But
right.
But it is a very good album.
Some people argue, well, it's their, what, sixth, seventh album, and so it's amazing that they made such a great album. First of all, I don't think it's that great of an album. It has that that Andy Kaufman song, which I think is Man on the Moon, which is awful. There's some real bombs on that album. So
I'd have to go back. I kind of like the Andy Kaufman song, though.
It ends with Night Swimming and was it Find the River, which are great songs. And yeah, there's some great stuff on there, but let's not get crazy, people.
Okay, so just you can search the Will's Band of the Week REM special, and we do the definitive ranking. We had a few that were kind of controversial among us, but, you know, I'd say there's sort of general consensus, right? I mean, we're pretty much...
As far as the top two, you're either a Reckoning guy or a Murmur guy. I mean,
probably
there can be discussions on either side. I'm a Reckoning guy.
Yeah, and I'm definitely Murmur. Yeah.
How dare you? Yeah. How dare you?
And then I think I had Life's Rich Pageant either, like, maybe number three, which is higher than most people have that album. But I love that album.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're just revisiting some debates of the past. But like I said, I don't think we were really that... I think our general... The rankings were not really that... Didn't differ all by that much, really.
Right after our discussion of Bread, while we were at Le Tigre drinking, Barrett challenged me to come up with a list of my 100 favorite songs.
I thought you were going to say you ranked the Bread albums.
One, Best of Bread. Two, I have no idea what's after that. I just know the Greatest Hits album.
Your 100 favorite songs.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like,
It's an impossible task.
That is impossible.
So I've tried. I sat there for hours and hours, and I went and I listened to, like, the top 20 that I put together, and I've got no qualms with it. I think I'm pretty good. I think I'm pretty good with it.
You mean you have a top 20... You're good with the ranking, or just that they're in the top 20?
I think I'm pretty good at the ranking, too.
Really?
Like, every song that comes on, I'm like, oh, yes, I love this song. I would definitely have this in my top 20, and I do.
That's kind of fun.
Yeah.
We have all these great rankings that we get to do in the near future, because we have the end of year, and then we have the best of the decade.
Yeah.
We'll have to figure out the format for that. Do you remember how we did it last decade? We did, you and me and Barrett.
Yeah.
Did two episodes, and one was numbers 10 through 6, and then the second one was 5 through 1.
Yeah.
Because we didn't think we could do our top 10 of the decade as one episode.
Well, I just sent you, what was it, Pitchfork or somebody did their top 50 albums of the 2010s.
Right.
And I did not agree.
You said you had there were 20 that you liked or something.
Or there were the top two. Wait, there's the top 200.
Is that what it was?
Yeah. And I think there were like 20 to 25 that I either listened to or liked. So.
Yeah. Yeah. But, they can say whatever they want. They aren't going to necessarily get it right, but we will.
100%.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Are you ready to rock?
Yeah, I'm ready. It's time to rock.
All right.
We're going to hear some music by the... I understand this is the world's best American band. They called themselves that on the last album.
It was the name of their last album, yes.
Yep.
So this is a band from Louisville, Kentucky, and I never would have guessed that when I first started listening to them, when their second album came out. I mean, they just had like a huge LA sound, and they're from America's heartland. This is White Reaper, who I believe this is their third album, and you know what you're going to get with them. They don't really stray from the path all that much. This is not an experimental endeavor for them. You're going to get mile wide arena rock.
Yep.
Their first album was a little bit different in that it was a little kind of had a little more sugary hooks. I mean, they still have big hooks, but they're not kind of as power poppy. The songs are a little bit more fleshed out now. So, let's see. I'm going to pick a song right off the bat. We've done White Reaper before, and I've probably said all the same things then. Let's go with the song number 4, which is 1F.
We live off the 1F. West past the river near a liquor store, and we like to die in the vet. Sing songs to each other, cause who are we can get? Okay, I've never seen those eyes before. Can't see them believing miracles. So it's hard sometimes.
White Reaper.
I think I may have picked that just because it has a little Cars influence to it. I think.
That's right. Yep.
Yeah, so I think it has that song specifically has a little bit of a late 70s flavor.
The album is called You Deserve Love. And yeah, it's kind of arena rock, right? They should play at the Sylvie because it's arena rock.
Well, it's not quite an arena, but yeah, sure.
That's kind of, I didn't follow up with you when we talked about the Sylvie earlier, but I kind of think of it as sort of arena rock.
Yeah.
Like the stage is really big, right? It's sort of like you have an arena and you just cut it off on the first half and you don't have the back half of the arena.
Yeah. Gotta say, I'm not a fan of just the flat floor with no, you know, with no grading to it whatsoever.
They could have banked it, right? It wouldn't have been that hard.
Yeah, because I mean,
bank it a little bit.
I'm standing right behind a guy that's my height and I still can't see.
Yeah, you kind of have to fight your way up to the front to really be able to see the bands. Or go up on the balcony. Baird and I did that for Mitski. We went up on the balcony and got right in the middle, and the view was pretty good.
Yeah.
Getting back to the actual arena rock.
Do you have a song?
White Reaper. Yeah, I do. I do. That was one of my picks. And if you're just going to sit back and enjoy the arena rock, then I think you got to appreciate number two.
Correct.
Real long time.
Are we sure that wasn't a Thin Lizzy song?
That did kind of sound like Thin Lizzy.
Like at the beginning with the kind of the dueling guitar sound?
Yeah, yep. Yep. Like, I think they call those double leads.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thin Lizzy, incidentally, up for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame this year. I saw much debate on whether they deserve induction.
I saw a list, and now I can't remember who was on it, but it kind of made me think, like, what are you supposed to do? I think what they do is just make it a popularity contest, right?
Yeah.
But then the other question that you always ask is, how do you define rock and roll? Because a lot of things that are nominated for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame are really not rock and roll at all. They're just popular music.
It is the eternal question for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Should it be just the Popular Music Hall of Fame? Yeah. Or is it, who gets disqualified for not being rock and roll enough?
I mean, there are rappers in there. One of the names up this year is Whitney Houston.
Right. Is Michael Jackson in it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And he's probably in it twice. He's probably in it for Jackson 5 and
Michael, I mean, he's
Jackson.
So popular he has to be in it, but he's not really rock and roll at all.
Yeah. Whitney Houston was one of the most famous people on the planet for a good 8-year run. Janet Jackson just got in last year.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay. So it's the Popular Music Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Not rock and roll. Yeah.
I don't know if I wonder how many country people have actually, because country has their own Hall of Fame.
Right, that's true.
Which I visited, yeah. And I wonder how many country artists are actually in there.
I think I went there too. It's in Nashville, right?
Sure is.
Yeah, I went a long time ago. You must have gone when you went with Barrett to see the soccer game, right?
Indeed, I did.
Yeah. Did you get some Nashville hot chicken too?
We waited in line for hours for Nashville hot chicken. And it was worth it too. It was very good.
Yeah. Yep.
I'm going to make it 3 for 3 tonight.
You mean another Arena Rock classic?
No. Well, it may be.
Oh, the last track?
I'm going last track again.
Hey, wait a minute. Look, it's the title track.
Is it? So
our answer is answered now.
Literally, like 20 minutes later, you answered your question. Yeah, I'm going title track / last track. You deserve love.
Hold out on to your better fortune. It's the same story but a different day. Keep your head on straight, my soldier. Everyone's got a different face.
I think I would just describe this album as a lot of fun. If you like fun, you'll like this album.
Now, of course, we are aging rockers, so it makes me think it's got to be kind of weird playing in a band of this style in these days, because you could imagine it just being completely ignored because people just don't listen to this kind of guitar music anymore.
No, it's dead rock.
Right. And on the other hand, every once in a while, there's a band like Greta Van Fleet,
yeah,
or Vleet or whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
And they imitate Led Zeppelin and they're huge.
Yep.
So I'm not really sure like how to explain that, right? These guys, I think I definitely prefer them to Greta Van Fleet.
I absolutely do as well.
Yeah.
Also, speaking of people getting back to us on Twitter, I tweeted that I really liked this album and they liked it.
They liked that you liked them.
Yes.
Good.
Of course, that's kind of cheating. Like any band, if you say like, hey, this band is great, check them out, they're probably going to retweet it. So it's a little cheating, but you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good for them for reaching out, sort of.
Yeah. White Reaper. Yeah. So we got a good variety this week, right?
Yeah.
I think so.
We did.
This is the part where we have to congratulate ourselves.
Yeah.
Like we're talking about that Jim Rome thing, right? How he does that, right?
Yeah. Oh, excellent show today.
Fantastic. Every time, like, I haven't listened to him in like 3 years now, but every time I would turn it on in the car, he would interview somebody, and at the end of the interview, you know, the guy, you know, hangs up and he says, "What a great interview." So we have to say, "What a great podcast," at the end of every podcast.
Absolutely, tonight. When we were getting ready for this, I was deciding what bands I wanted to do, and I really liked the Kills Birds album, and I went back and I realized that you and Craig had already talked about them. So
yeah, we have.
So congrats to Craig for his recommendation. I'm sure that's probably where I heard it.
You heard it from us.
Yeah, I heard it on the podcast, and then I was like, I want to talk about this on the podcast, not realizing it, that I'd heard it. This is my memory as an old person.
Sure.
I'm, like, losing it. And then I really like an album by King Princess, so definitely check that out.
All right. Very good. You've got the listeners up to date now.
Yep. Gotta empty the chamber.
Yeah. And we've got more of it. There's all kinds of stuff here. It's crazy.
Could be years before I'm on again.
Yeah, it could be. Hope not. It's almost time to schedule the end of year podcast. It'll be like probably 4 weeks from now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's pretty important, right?
I did like a mid-year albums that I like, and there were 20 of them. Mm-hmm. And that was just through the first 6 months of the year. And I've tacked on quite a few since then, so we'll see.
You're up to between 25 and 30, and you have to rank them now.
Right. Now I got to get down to 10.
You got
to
leave some pretty good ones out at 11 and 12. It's always disappointing.
I was going back through our old lists, and I realized I can totally tell the years where I knew you or Barrett were going to have something that I had on there, and so I wanted to let you have it and sneak something else on there.
Uh-huh.
And which leaves some completely unforgivable omissions on my part, like our best of the 2000s. Like, I don't have any Radioheads on there. I could have had Kid A or Amnesiac, which are two of my favorites, but Barrett had,
I think he had Kid A number one.
Barrett had Kid A number one. Yeah. So I'm like, well, he can have Radiohead. And then I'm going back and I'm looking at my list and I'm like, my God, where's Radiohead?
All right, don't make that mistake again.
All right, I'm hogging them. I'm gonna get my list in first.
And I won't back down. We might have, like, all three have the same number one. No, there's no way that would happen. But
I don't know. There's a pretty clear-cut favorite from all of us this year, I think.
Well, there's I think I know what you're talking about. But when you get to the decade, boy, that gets hard because you don't want to give any preferential treatment to something that came out this year. And you have to try to put it into context, and it's weird, right? Because you have something that's like, how do you compare something from like that you loved in 2018 to something that you loved in 2011 when you haven't had the same amount of time to let it kind of, you know, sink in?
This is the conundrum I faced in putting together my top 100 list.
I think you have to realize that it's okay if it changes, right? Just have to put it where you think it should be now, knowing that like 10 years from now, you probably wouldn't rank them the same.
Right. So like in the top 10, I have like a Sufjan Stevens song. Now, you might think, is a Sufjan Stevens song better than like a Temptation song or a Four Tops song or a Beach Boys song or whatever that I might have? But yeah, I think you just got to roll with it. You got to go with your heart.
Yeah.
Just be yourself.
If I'm going with my heart, Hold On Loosely is number one. And then after that, then it's just a competition.
Everything's tied for second. Yeah.
Talk about straight from the heart. Come on. All right. Let's sign off. We've given them their $0 worth, and I get to edit this whole thing. You haven't made any mistakes, so that's a great thing. You don't make mistakes. they're all mine this time, so I'll make myself look better through editing, through the miracles of technology. All right, let's talk to everybody again next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night.
The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you each week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, with correspondents from the United States, Canada, the United Kingdom, and Australia. You can subscribe or download the podcast wherever podcasts are available or from our website, willsband.net. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and you can contact us directly by email to willsband@yahoo.com. Our theme music was composed by Grant and performed by Grant and Will. Thanks for listening.